us His glory.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Sing those words again.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory.
Sing this old hymn with us when we all get to heaven. What a day that's going to be.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all
continue to worship with us as we sing.
Who am I that the highest would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love. You came for criminals, every Pharisee. You came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carry sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done, nailed into your hand.
Why?
cling to your love and hold on for dear life. And I find you are right by my side. Why, God, do we feel so alone? Every single day, fighting through the pain, hoping there is hope. I don't understand, but I understand why, God, I need you. It's why, God, I run to your arms over and over again. It's why, God, I cling. That's why, God, I need you. Why, God, I run to your arms over and over again. Why, God, I cling to your love and hold on for dear life. And I find you are right by my side. Always right by my side, even here in the wide, God.
I'm a person who's interested in how-to videos. And man, I'm telling you, the technology has opened that world to us. I had a TV that every time I'd try to turn it on, it would make this click, 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 and then it would come on. And I'm not the brightest guy on the block, but I knew that wasn't right. That it used to, you'd just push a button, it'd come on. And so I thought, and this has been some years ago, and I thought, well, there ought to be a way that I could fix that. I say that about a lot of things. My family hates to hear me say that, because usually when I go about trying to fix what I think I can fix, it ends up costing me more than it would have to get it fixed by someone who knows what they're doing. But on this particular occasion, I went online and I named the model of TV, and I just put it. This is incredible to me. If I'd have had this available to me when I was in high school, I would have made straight A's. I'm just confident that would be the case, because you can. I looked it up and I simply put, my TV goes click 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 before it comes on. That's exactly how I typed it in, and I want you to know when I hit the enter button, all of these YouTube videos just boom, there they are. And so I started watching this one guy, and he was a TV electronic nerd to the max. I could not understand what he was talking about. You know, he's using these terms, and you would have had to be an electronic person to understand what he was saying. I said, there's got to be somebody who can connect with me. I don't know anything about that world. And so I kept searching, and I found this lady somewhere over in Texas who said exactly what I had said about my TV. And I thought, well, I'm going to see what she does. And I watched her, and she made it so easy to understand. I guess she had that mothering knack, you know. She just knew how to bring you along and nurture you through the process, and said, now here's what's wrong. You go to the Radio Shack and buy this capacitor, and you get a soldering gun. And anyway, I did all of it, and it worked. And now Rachel, my granddaughter, has that TV in her bedroom and uses it for her video games, and it's still working to this day. Like I'm talking like 10 years since I repaired it. Amazing what you can find on how-to. But that only applies to a certain level. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
My mother-in-law could make a biscuit that would make you want to hurt yourself to get to it. I mean, it was, I'm telling you, nobody made biscuits like Molly made biscuits. And so Becky said, show me how to make biscuits so I can make them for Ron at home. And she showed her, and she told her exactly what to do. And Beck, I know you're listening. She's backstage listening. She says every once in a while, sometimes when you get on one of those tears, I just want to run out there. So y'all, she's back there right now like, well, I'm going to go. But anyway, her biscuits did not taste like her mom's biscuits. And I'm a gentle soul. I just told her, this is not the same. I shouldn't have said that. She said, well, fine, you get mom to show you how to make biscuits because I'll never make you another biscuit. And she didn't. So I asked Molly, I said, show me how to make a biscuit. And she went through that process with me. She put the flour in the bowl and she put the other ingredient, buttermilk, in the bowl, and there was a little bit of Crisco in the bowl, and she showed me how to put it all together and pat them out, and don't handle them too much, because if you handle them too much, you're just gonna, you know, you're gonna ruin them, and just lay them and just pat it down, and I did everything that she showed me to do, and they were nasty. How-to does not always work in all realms. A few years ago, my knee was killing me, and I said, oh, man, I give up. I remember we were at the beach that year, and I was walking with Emma up and down the beach, and I got to where, I just couldn't go, and my knee got all red and swollen. It was angry. When I came back home, I went to the doctor, and I said, see what's going on. And he told me what was going on. And I'm going to promise you, I did not go home and look for a YouTube video on how to fix that thing. There's just some things you can't fix, right? And I let the doctor take care of that. And he did a great job taking care of that. And I have had great use of my leg since he did that repair. There's some things you just can't do for yourself. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Jesus had a religious leader come to him in John chapter 3. Late one night, his name was Nicodemus. And old Nick asked Jesus, he said, what must I do to be saved? You got to tell me what's happening in the lives of these people, these disciples who are following after you. They're just ordinary people and they are changed people and they have a presence about them, a boldness about them, and you're working miracles left and right. Tell me, how can I get in on this? Nicodemus had studied the scriptures. He was a leader among religious people. He knew how to go to church. He knew how to pray. He knew how to study the Torah, the Word of God that was available to his generation. He knew how to do those things, but there was something that was happening in the lives of those who were around Jesus that was different than what Nicodemus had come to experience, and he realized that about himself, and he said, what do I need to do to have in me what's happening in them? And Jesus, without hesitation, in John 3:3 said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, we're getting to a level of life improvement that is way beyond us. The best you can do in looking on YouTube about this matter is to find someone like a Billy Graham or someone who has a care for souls who will tell you what the Scripture says about positioning yourselves to receive that experience of a spiritual rebirth that all of us need. It's important that we understand that. Because I remember years ago when I was in Columbia, there was this one man that I pastored, and one day he came to me and he said, I don't understand. He said, I hear people talk about the joy that they have in their walk with the Lord, and I don't have that joy. And people talk about they feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. I mean that. I'm not trying to hype up. As we were worshiping this morning, I just felt the presence of God in my life. And I praise Him for that, because you can't make that happen. Only God can cause that to happen in our experience. And this man said, people talk about what they feel in the presence of the Lord, and I have never felt that, and I don't understand. And come to find out, as we talked together, he was a man who had grown up in church. And going to church was just something that he had always done, and as far as he was concerned, he would always do. But when you talk about, when you give consideration to what Jesus is saying when he says you must be born again in order to enter or see the kingdom of God, you're talking about something that is supernatural beyond our capability to produce in ourselves or in one another. Discipleship is important. And you can disciple people, you can help people follow after Jesus, but I'm telling you, before anybody can be born again, they have to depend upon what Jesus alone, through the power of His Holy Spirit and through the shedding of His blood, can accomplish in our lives. It is a supernatural thing to be born again. It's not a religious thing. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not just going to Sunday school. It's not just attending church or doing good deeds. It's more than that. But when we get to the place that we understand, I don't have that joy, I don't have that sense of His presence, then there is something we can do about it. Going to church alone is not enough. Reading the Bible alone is not enough. Listening to Christian music alone is not enough. All of that's good. And I think all of it contributes to placing us in a position whereby we might receive the moving of the Spirit that God is wanting to bring to our lives. But know this, only God can bring you to spiritual wholeness. Only God can bring you to spiritual life. Only He can produce in your life that abundance that Jesus speaks of when He says, I have come that you might have life and have it to overflowing. Only Jesus can forgive your sins, because only Jesus can pay your sin debt. There's not enough that you could do or enough that you could give to accomplish the forgiveness of your sins. But Jesus, in that moment that He went to the cross and He shed His blood, in that act, that redemptive act, everything was given that is necessary for your sins to be forgiven. The Holy Spirit takes hold of us and brings us to that place in our lives where we realize that we're undone spiritually, that we cannot watch a YouTube and pull this together, that we cannot reach inside of ourselves and make our souls to become what God would have them to become. Jesus told Nicodemus, He says, being born again is the work of the Spirit in your life. And it's hard to get a handle on. Jesus said, you see the wind, you don't see the wind, but you see the leaves rustling in the breeze, and you see the trees swaying in the breeze. The wind is causing that. And the Holy Spirit goes to work in our lives and begins that transformation that is an answer to the faith that we have exercised in what God is bringing us to. You know, I came to realize some time ago that you don't just decide to believe either. You don't just wake up one day and decide, hey, I think I'm going to believe. I've been hearing about this Jesus. I think today I'm going to believe. You don't just decide to believe. Even faith is a gift from the hand of God that He bestows upon the humble soul, that they might have the opportunity to exercise a move in His direction that is more than just human ingenuity or intellect. It is a spiritual move that brings us to the place that we take those steps in a Godward direction and say, you know what? I'm tired of life the way that I've been producing the effects. I want what only you can give. Like the prodigal who found himself in the pig pen and said, my father's servants have it better than me. I know what I'll do. I'll get up and go home. And in that moment, the scripture says he came to himself. But do you understand this morning, he didn't just get up and decide to come to himself. When he finally found, when he finally was awakened to the misery of his existence, it was the Holy Spirit who was bringing him to that awareness. Oh, how we need a move of the Spirit in our churches today. That we might not just have business as usual Sunday after Sunday, but that God might, that He might move in among us and make His presence known and bring us to new steps of following after Him and receiving the blessing that He's wanting to bring to our lives. As I've said, some people go to church for years before they open their hearts to Christ. My prayer is that today everyone in this house and everyone who is hearing by way of the YouTube video, that today would be our day to say, enough is enough, Lord. I'm not going to try to fix this myself any longer. I ask you to please come and bring light and life and wholeness to my experience. I've been looking at a scripture recently and I've been sharing it with you from 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul writes and says, the God who said, let there be light, has spoken light into your soul, has walked into the middle of your darkness, and has said spiritually to you, let there be light. And when that happens, something happens, like happened in Nicodemus. Do you see that when Nicodemus went to Jesus that night, he didn't just decide that afternoon, I'm going to go find Jesus. But the Holy Spirit went to work in Nicodemus's life and spoke light into his darkness. And then he said, I need to go talk with Jesus. If you're here this morning, if you're hearing this morning, and it's been longer than you can remember since light has come into your darkness that way, I pray that you will fall on your face before God today and say, oh Lord, I don't know what's got me to where I am, but I pray that you would have mercy on me and that you would allow me to experience the light that you're wanting to bring to my darkness, that you would allow me to experience the life that you're wanting to bring in the middle of my death, that I might indeed be born again. You see, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, in compassion, what he was saying to Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, you can't keep doing it the way you've been doing it and get different results. Sometimes people look at that passage and they have this idea that Jesus was just coming down on him hard. That's not the case. Jesus knew in the moment when Nicodemus made his approach, it was because the Spirit of the Father was at work in Nicodemus's life. Jesus being the Son of God, God in the flesh, He knew the dynamics of what was happening. He was not making an attempt to grill Nicodemus because of his self-righteousness. That's all Nicodemus had ever known. That's what he was raised to believe in. That you try harder, you do more, you commit more, you trust more. And Jesus was saying to him, Nicodemus, you've got to let go of the ideas you've had about getting close to God. And you've got to allow the Lord to do in your life what will bring you into relationship with Him in a way that you would never be able to produce. The Bible says we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say that we're saved by grace through faith so that we won't brag about our salvation. Look how good I am. I've been saved almost 50 years. And one day I realized any progress I was making on my spiritual journey was more about Him than me. It's amazing. There's some places you will only be able to go when you get down on your knees. There's some places you'll only be able to go by getting down on your face before God. It's not trying harder. It's not reading more. It's not about memorizing more. All of that's good stuff. Jesus said to Nicodemus, give up and trust in God. Just put your life in His hands and follow where the Spirit leads you, and watch what happens when you trust in the fact that God loves you and He wants to bless you. The doctor fixed my knee. The dentist fixed my tooth. Well, I don't want to drill on my own teeth, Calvin. I don't want you to drill on my teeth. But sometimes you have to. The preacher can't fix your soul. Your grandma, as much as she prays for you, there's some things she can't do. She can make a biscuit like you'll never be able to make. But she cannot bring you to spiritual transformation. She wants to, but that's a God thing. So let me ask you, spiritually speaking, what have you been trying to fix in your life? Do you hear God this morning? He, in a second, can do in your soul what you could never accomplish in a lifetime. And He wants to. Will you let Him? Will you let God do in your spiritual life, in your life, what will result in a spiritual rebirth? Aren't you tired of religion? Doesn't it just wear you out? You know what? I told you a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I don't remember what I preached last week. I have to go look at the YouTube if I want to know what I preached last week, because I'm already moving to the next one. You know what I'm saying? And if I stay back there, I can't get there. So I just keep moving. But I do remember that I told you that I've committed to read through the Bible this year. And it helps me spiritually. But if I did all of that and did not depend upon the blood of Jesus and the power of the Spirit to do what God is wanting to do in my life, I would just be a Bible reader, but I wouldn't be born again. Are there any Bible readers here this morning that would like to be born again? Would you be so bold as to come into the presence of Jesus this morning? We've got an altar where you can come and pray if you want to. But I want to be straight up with you. The altar of prayer that we have was born in the evolution of evangelicals. Nicodemus didn't kneel at an altar. He went to Jesus at night because he didn't want his friends to know he had gone to Jesus. We don't hear of Nicodemus again until we get to the end of the Gospels. And you know, did you know that Nicodemus was the one that went alongside of Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus down off the cross? So I think it's safe to say something happened because of that night. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to kneel here for that to happen. It can happen right where you're seated. It could happen in your car on the way home. It could happen in your home after you get home from church. But if the Spirit of God is moving you to ask Jesus for His spiritual rebirth to be effected in your life, act on that, and God will take care of the rest. Praise team, y'all can come, and we were singing a song. They love it when I do this, by the way. Do you know which one I'm talking about, John? It kind of goes along with what... You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember the words. Yeah, that's it. It had some lines in there. He knows. You tell me God hadn't put us to work together. He knows what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you need maybe to be born again for the very first time? Or maybe do you need a spiritual rebirth this morning to get back to, I feel His presence. I have joy unspeakable. A joy that I can't even explain. God is with me. God is filling me. The Jesus who said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's happening in me. Just come to Jesus this morning, okay? If the Spirit is tugging on your soul, you know it. You know it. So just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear you. The more Brother Ron talks, the more confused I get, but I hear you. You must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. You can't work your way in. You can't buy your way in. You can't be taught in. But when you know there's something missing, and you say, God, there's something missing, God says, you hear me, don't you? And He steps into our death and He brings us to life. He steps into our darkness and He turns on the lights. And we can't quite put it into words, but we know Jesus just passed by. That's awesome. Lord, be with us in this moment. We need you. It's awesome, Lord, that for those of us who've been saved for decades, we know we need you probably more than we did in the beginning. But how awesome it was in that beginning moment to know you were speaking to us, and all we knew to do was say, Lord, help me, I need you. And that was enough. And we were born again. Let that happen in this house this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
You came for criminals, everything.
Thank you.